Hallelujah. Praise be to God. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And of course, it's a good night to die to yourself. You know, the last time we gathered, as we were praying in the Spirit, the Lord was sharing about that there was three things he was about to do. And when we saw the three whirlwinds coming, and the first whirlwind had the word help on it. And in that, he was going to push back the powers of darkness. And as we were praying tonight in the Spirit, the Lord said that he was pushing back the powers of darkness. And the second whirlwind was the area of, that a word sacrifice was on this whirlwind. And he said, and I saw him picking up the things that we've been sacrificing as almost like prayer requests and things of sacrifice. And he was picking them up. And then the third whirlwind that came was provision. And he wanted us to know that he hadn't forsaken us. But these three whirlwinds are about to hit. And that all of this is associating the reason why he's moving back and pushing back darkness is because the kingdom is expanding here on earth. And, you know, we may hear about a lot of things happening and so forth. But I want you to know that the kingdom of God is expanding. No matter what the world shows you, no matter what the news says, and no matter what people say, the kingdom of God is expanding rapidly. There are thousands of people coming into the kingdom every single day. No matter what it feels like and looks like and what's happening, there are thousands of people coming into the tens of thousands coming in daily, globally. And the kingdom of God is expanding. And in this, the Bible tells us that we take things by force. And you take it by force by prayer, by intercession, by praying in the Spirit. We are taking things by force. So in this, it is vitally important that we understand in the area of what is kingdom living. And on our eternal website, our eternal library website, we have a kingdom living. And in this, it's got multiple teachings of life in the kingdom and all kinds of things about the kingdom of God. There's got to be about 8 or 9 teachings on it, and it's excellent. And one of the things that the Spirit was giving me tonight, he says, kingdom living is living for the King. And there's an area of kingdom living. There's not only life in the kingdom, but there's an area of kingdom living. And in John chapter 3, if you'll go there with me, you know, Jesus said something very powerful. When his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, go to the Father. Basically, repent for your sins. Ask not to be led into any temptations. And pray that the kingdom of God will be on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, that the kingdom of God in the spirit realm will be manifested here in the physical realm. So we understand that the kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom. And in kingdom living, things begin to change for me and you. And in John chapter 3, hallelujah, is everybody there? And starting at John 3:1, says, there was a man of a Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, again, this Pharisee came to Jesus at night because there's no way he was going to be get caught during the day. He'd get thrown out of the Pharisee club. Then he wouldn't be able to get first seats in the restaurants and stuff like that. And verse 15. And when he had made it... Oh, excuse me. I mean, hold on, not 15. And verse 3. Hallelujah. Jesus answered, said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Of course, he was thinking carnally, wasn't he? And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And I want to share something with you about this, because born of the Spirit is a state of being. It is a state of being with a sense of reality. To be born of the Spirit is a state of being with a new sense of reality. And this new sense of reality that pertains to kingdom living. This new sense of reality pertains to kingdom living. This is a state of being that must be maintained or it is lost. We live for the King, we love His kingdom, and we live for eternity. It is a state of being. We have a teaching called saved or born again. And this state of being is associated with the chambers of the tabernacle of God. But I want you to understand that in this born again experience by the Spirit of God, it puts us into another state of being. It is no longer a natural arena that we look at. It's a supernatural arena. It is a state of being of a reality. In the sense that there's a desire to live according to the kingdom that we might not understand or comprehend yet. That's why you're here. Because we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. His seed and His Spirit draws us. His seed's in us and His Spirit is constantly filling us and touching us, and there's a state of being, a new way of seeing, a new way of hearing, a new way of living. It's kingdom living. And we don't even truly understand it, but there becomes a point in a time where we begin to be torn away from the world. It's an area where we look at, you know, of things to where some things just don't matter anymore according to the world. See, but again, this state of being must be maintained. Because if it's not maintained, it is lost. In Matthew 16, kingdom living. Verse 24, let's speak it. So to be born again is with a new sense of reality that pertains to kingdom living. In Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, what? If anyone desires to come to me after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In other words, take off the old, put on Christ, and obey me. See, this is the new way of kingdom living. So to maintain this born-again state of being, he gives us the formula, the guidance, the direction that says, here's one of the areas that's going to help you maintain. You must take off the old, you put on Christ, and you obey me. And you maintain that state of being, which is a sense of the eternal reality. Is everybody okay? Okay, let's go a little further. He says what? In verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Well, that seems that's totally opposite of the world's way, isn't it? But whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he will reward each one according to his works. This is kingdom. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. See, there is a reality now, not only the denial of self, to taking off of the old, putting on a new, and obeying Christ to follow. But there is a reality now of two realms, and there's a reality of two kingdoms. The two realms of a physical and spiritual, and the reality of a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. Because something happens, he says, you know what? The only way that you're going to be able to maintain to enter my kingdom is to lose your life. You must lose it. So you are to no longer fight for your life. You are to fight for the life of Christ. So our fight is not for ourselves, because we want to be about kingdom living, so we want to be about kingdom business. Everything is about the kingdom. Everything. We live for the kingdom and for its expansion. This is what we live for, because we live for the King of the kingdom. Amen? In Ephesians 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In other words, you're no longer in your own strength. You realize that your own strength can do nothing against a spiritual battle. Nothing at all. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil, which is the kingdom of darkness. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we now know in the area, because we are kingdom living, that we know that there is a spiritual war and a battle that exists in this realm. And we must live in a military protocol, because we've been sent in this realm on a military mission. This is kingdom living. We are born into a military operation with a call to battle, with the purpose to destroy Satan's kingdom, and with the destiny to infiltrate the world system with abilities and talents God's given us. This is kingdom's living. In other words, this is what we live for. Has everybody got it? Again, we now have the reality of a battle. A war that's going on. A spiritual war between two kingdoms. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And in this reality, we know that in this place, there is a battle going on. There is a war and a battle of every decision you're getting ready to make. Amen? There's a battle to deceive you, because Satan's weapon is deception. And in this, we understand in these two realms, in the physical and spiritual, that there is a battle between these two kingdoms, and that we are called to battle. We have been rescued to battle in this realm. We have not just been rescued to live a fluffy life. We have been rescued to battle because we are about the kingdom, the kingdom's business, and we are living according to the kingdom. So we've been called to battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and our destiny is to infiltrate the world system with abilities and talents God's given us. This is a divine order of God Almighty. We do not fall out of that order. And everything that we do not fall out of that order. And Matthew 12. This is kingdom living. Verse 25. And let's go to 24. Verse 24, it says, when the Pharisees heard it, they said that this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. In verse 25, then Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So we see Satan as a kingdom, doesn't he? Amen? How will his kingdom stand? In verse 27, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Oh. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his goods? Now this is powerful because here God, the Lord, reveals that Satan's kingdom is here on earth. Satan's kingdom is ruling the earth, and with his angels and demons and witchcraft and deception, by enslaving humans with fear, hatred, lust, and greed, sickness, and death. I'll say that again. Satan's kingdom is ruling the earth with his angels and his demons. He utilizes witchcraft and deception. And he utilizes those two things to enslave humans. He enslaves them with fear, hatred, lust, greed, sickness, and then death. They were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub. Beelzebub was known, it was the god of the Philistines of the city of Ekron. The word Beelzebub was also a representation of the prince of demons. It's also known as Satan or Lucifer. But there's something very unique about this, because even though that they were saying Beelzebub, Jesus responded back and saying, I don't cast demons out by Beelzebub. And in one sense, there was a mockery, because the word Beelzebub is a representation of Lord of the Flies. And when you break the word up, what they used to do is mock in the word Beelzebub, because they used to say Beelzebub means a pile of dung and his followers are called flies. So this is what they used to express in that period of time. So Beelzebub was associated with a pile of dung. And those of you who don't know what dung is, it's crap. Real simple. Hallelujah. And it says, and his followers are called flies. So it was used as a mockery. In Matthew chapter 10, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Some people are listening might faint. It's okay. It's not a cuss word. It's what it is. I could use another word, but I chose not to. So don't even think it, okay? Matthew chapter 10. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6. And Jesus said, but go gather the lost sheep of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do what? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, I don't see any other religion, suppose, do these things. In fact, some of them kill their own people. They don't heal the sick, they just kill them. They don't raise the dead, they bury them. They don't cleanse the lepers, they kill them. And Jesus said, go preach the kingdom of eternity. Tell them about me. Tell them about a kingdom living. Amen? This is kingdom living. It's the kingdom of love. And it's the kingdom that exposes darkness. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrew 10. And verse 35. Therefore do not what? Cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Too many people give up too quickly. For you will have need of what? Endurance. Kingdom living is about endurance. People have a tendency to go to the least resistance, and I can tell you that there's a trap at the end of it. Kingdom living isn't about least resistance. The Bible tells us that the path is narrow and difficult. So when God sends you on a mission, I can guarantee you that the devil is about to have all kinds of exits for you, no matter what they are. It's got to be easier than this. There's always resistance in the will of God. It's never simple. There is a flow. There's a flow that you walk in peace, but there's always resistance. So we got to stop going into the least resistance and stay on path. Because this is what kingdom living is. It's keeping ourselves denied. You know why people run? Because they didn't get what they wanted. Oh, I just did it up done. Oh, you Gucci goo you. People run and not fight because they didn't get what they wanted. It says, for you need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So what do you think the devil's going to do? He's going to open a path of least resistance so that you won't receive the reward. Because if you can't complete the will of God, you don't get the reward. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by what? Faith, that is spiritual sight. So we do not live by physical sight, we live by spiritual sight. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing allows us to see. Then we obey. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. We live by faith, it's spiritual sight. It's attributed to our new state of being born again. Because the sense of reality for me and you is totally different. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible tells us that all of our labor is laboring unto the Lord, no matter what we do. No matter where you're at, no matter what, it's not about you, it's about laboring unto the Lord. So no matter where he places you to work, no matter where he places you to go, there's a purpose. That purpose has to do with preparation, training. See, because there'll be a point in time when you get into a circumstance that you would wish that you had learned what to do. So don't miss. Amen. Learn while you can. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, therefore we do not what? Lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and this is for everyone, you know, even though you think your affliction is longer than someone else's. Hello. Some of us bring self-inflictions. Hallelujah. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Everyone say, working for me. For a what? Far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So your afflictions are working for you if you let them. Hopefully you'll learn from them. Well, we do not look at the what? Things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of the things about kingdom living is to be able to see the unseen. That is essential. This is what separates you from the world. Because the world only relies on what they see. You rely on what you don't see because you know that you're eternal. And you are a part of an eternal kingdom. You live for eternal now, not for temporary. This is kingdom living. You no longer live for yourself. You live for him. This is why you live. Because we live for darkness at one time. Now we live for light. And this is the choice that everyone has. Even in the kingdom, we still have a choice. Because the ones who are still living for themselves, God will eventually remove. Even though they're in the kingdom. Because if they're not living kingdom living, they will be removed from the kingdom. Hallelujah. So we look forward to our eternal home, but now our mission must be completed here in this realm. And the sway of the evil one will try to blind us or bring us to the least resistant. And Luke 12, kingdom living. In verse 28, 12:28. If then God so clothes grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you little faith? Verse 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have a what? Anxious mind. An anxious mind will move you right out of divine order. You know what an anxious mind says? Me, 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 me. You know what the mind of Christ says? Come out, come out, come out, come out. Hallelujah. Verse 30. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow. See, we seek to maintain kingdom principles, a protocol of divine order. Listen, we hold nothing against anyone, knowing that that will interfere or delay our provision. I don't care who it is or what. Well, you don't know what this person. You must forgive and let them go. Your words towards that person or your thoughts towards that person will prevent provision or delay it. We must forgive and bless and shut up. Hallelujah. Matthew 18, kingdom living. And verse 2. Matthew 18, verse 2. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, what's a little child? A little child is what? All trusting. Amen. All forgiving. And a little child is always wanting to learn, isn't he? What's that? What's that? What's that? This is what a little child is. He's all trusting, quick to forgive, and willing to learn. We're to be childlike. When you go to God, you don't go to him as an adult. You go to him as a child. Only those who are prideful go to him as adults. Why? Because he's looking for a humble spirit. That means that you and I must humble ourselves. Amen? We must maintain a humble spirit as a child and not with a prideful attitude, because a prideful attitude will open a door to the enemy in your life. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. 2 Corinthians 6. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Kingdom living. It's a new state of being. It's a sense of reality now. But the enemy will always try to draw you back, no matter what. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked with what? Unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with what? Darkness. This is phenomenal. And what accord, verse 15, and what accord has Christ with what? Belial, which is just another name for Satan. Or actually here it's known as sons of darkness. It's called the sons of darkness. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols, which are idols of the world? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If, everyone say if, the word therefore means if you do this, if you're willing to do this, because if you'll do this, this is kingdom living. He says, come out from among them. And be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We are to come out from among the sons of darkness, which is the ways of the world, and its pleasures for the sake of the kingdom of God and our own souls. Because we are to be led by the Spirit. We are not to be led by how we feel. We're to be led by the Spirit. The world is led by the soul. We are led by the Spirit. Matthew 13, I'm sorry. So we are to come out from among them because we are no longer living according to the kingdom of darkness. We are living according to the kingdom of light. And I'm going to tell you, you will be persecuted and mocked. You will be called self-righteous. It's amazing when another believer calls another believer self-righteous. You self-righteous thing. The one that just called that person self-righteous is self-righteous. Hallelujah. Matthew 13. Is everybody there? Verse 36. It says, and Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of what? His kingdom. All things that offend, and those who practice what? Lawlessness. And will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, hear. And let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Basically what the Spirit says. So we see even in the kingdom, God will eventually remove those who think they are right. But they're not. Because they practice lawlessness. They are not kingdom living or living according to kingdom principles and ethics and morals. They're living according to their own way and using the kingdom for their advantage. They will be exposed and removed. In Luke 18. Luke 18. Hallelujah. In verse 28. Luke 18, verse 28. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. So it is required. Now, he doesn't mean that you're just going to take off and run away from your family. Hello. But he's saying you are going to be about the kingdom business, whether they come along or not. You're about kingdom living and kingdom business, whether they come or not. Amen? You are to forsake all. 1 Corinthians 6. This is kingdom living because we look at eternity, not temporary. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, speak it with me. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of us, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Again, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be put under the power of any. So there may be things that are not leading to death, but they can eventually. Amen. Knowing that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we are ready to express Christ at every given moment. We're ready to express Christ at any given moment, need be, wherever we are. Amen? Go to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. We're a people of prayer. We are we must make contact. The only way that you're going to be about kingdom living is to make contact every morning. You must make contact with the other side. You must make contact with the kingdom. Where it says, seek ye the kingdom and all things will be what? Added to you. In Psalm 45, in verse 6, let's speak it. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your what? Kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So he has this, his righteousness. It is the scepter of righteousness which is associated with his kingdom, because his kingdom is established with righteousness. Psalm 103. See, the world doesn't know righteousness. It only knows good and evil. They try to practice righteousness, which becomes self-righteous. And for them, when an individual's self-righteousness in the world, it's called pride. Spiritually, it's called pride. In the world, it's called self-righteous. Because people in the world think that to be proud is good. But in the spirit realm, it is not good. A prideful attitude will separate you from God. We are to maintain a humble spirit. God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. Because we are about living according to the kingdom. In Psalm 103, in verse 19, it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules all over. All over. So his throne is in heaven, which is a representation of eternal, but his kingdom rules through the whole universe. It's eternal. It's beyond the universe. In his kingdom, because there's kingdom living, we have covenant with him through his blood. There's covenant of promises. That's why he says, once you do the will of God, you will receive the reward. That's the promise that he promises us. In Romans 14, kingdom living. In verse 16, Romans 14, verse 16, therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is what? Not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So our kingdom is not associated with eating and drinking according to the natural, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Because what we do is required in kingdom living is to eat the flesh of Christ, which is his word, and drink his blood, which is known as drinking of the Spirit. So we feed on his faithfulness because we are eating eternal food, which maintains us in eternal condition. That's kingdom living. Amen? In Galatians 5, we eat food to maintain in this realm, but some people serve food instead of food serving them. That's what the Lord says, slice your throat, you glutton. We are not to be gluttons where we serve food. Food is only needed to maintain this realm. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it, but don't be bound to it. So when you're frustrated, don't run to the refrigerator, run to the throne room. When you're being attacked or whatever, praise the Lord. Don't eat yourself happy because you can't. You'll eat yourself miserable. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Got real quiet in here. What happened? You talking to me? He's talking to everybody, man. Galatians 5. In verse 24, it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, kingdom living is living in the Spirit. Kingdom living is walking in the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. This is kingdom living. Let us not become conceited. That's carnal living. Provoking one another or envying one another. That's carnal. That is not kingdom living. In Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts is actually the acts of God through the disciples. And in this, Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he's writing to a friend of his who is an attorney. His name is Theophilus. And he says, in your former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, in verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after he what? After he, through the, is anybody there? Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering or after his resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the what? Kingdom of God. So Jesus, after he rose from the dead for 40 days, hung out. And he was expressing to them the kingdom. He was expressing them about eternity because he was now a witness of what eternal realm. Of eternity. Glorified body. And so he began to speak to them about and tell them about kingdom business. And in verse 4 it says, and being assembled together with them, he what? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So Jesus goes right into explaining to them, as he's speaking to them about kingdom business, he's speaking to them about being a part of the born-again state of being by being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, that's salvation. But there's another baptism where the kingdom of God is manifested in your life and it's kingdom living. Kingdom living is not in the outer court. Kingdom living is in the holy place. And there have been people who have been in the holy place and most holy place and choose to live in the outer court. And that's where they go back and forth, back and forth. They are unstable. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now understand, Jesus was expressing and teaching about the kingdom. And then he expressed to them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And verse 8, and he says, and you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And of course, we know that when they got baptized, they spoke in tongues and they were empowered. The Spirit of God empowered them. Now, it's our responsibility to maintain that state of being. It's our responsibility to be cleansed, to constantly sever ourselves from the ways of the world. So that we are about kingdom business, about living of the kingdom. That's our responsibility. He's given us everything. Amen? We are protectors of the righteous. We are defenders of the kingdom. We are rescuers of the lost and the blind. We are seers for the blind. We are suppliers to the needy. We are trainers to the rescued. We are warriors against darkness and expressors of Christ. We are unifiers of his kingdom. And we are willing to die for the truth. This is kingdom living, and I'll say it one more time. In the new arena of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we now have new eyes, a new language, a new love, and power. So what it does is in this new state of being, because we are now kingdom living according to kingdom living, we are protectors of the righteous. We are defenders of the kingdom. We are rescuers of the lost. We are seers for the blind. We are suppliers to the needy. We are trainers to the rescued. We are warriors against darkness. We are expressors of Christ. We are unifiers of his kingdom to maintain unity. And we are willing to die for the truth, for the kingdom, and for Christ. This is kingdom living. We are willing to do whatever it takes to expand the kingdom. In Colossians chapter 1. Now you may think, I don't know if I can do this. You can't. That's why you got to have Christ. the anointed one and his anointing. And he who is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. In Christ means a new state of being, a new sense of reality. And that must be maintained. And one of the things the enemy wants to do is begin to dull you of this sense of reality. He wants to get you stuck up into this realm, in a temporary realm, become fearful and worrisome. Then he begins to express himself from your past. And Christ is trying to express himself of your future, while the devil expresses himself from your past. Colossians 1 and verse 9. Is everybody there? For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For what? All patience, which is endurance, and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Hebrews 12. And the kingdom of God is pressing on. It's expanding. God is fulfilling his word and descending the first whirlwind and moving back the powers of darkness. Hebrews 12. Glory. Hallelujah. And verse 25. Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And I will close at Revelation 12. Glory. In verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7, it says, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, and it's still continuing. It's not stopped yet. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. His kingdom was brought and sent to the earth. Then I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. We are the body of Christ, the kingdom on earth from heaven. We are eternal. The kingdom is eternal. We've got to stop living according to the carnal. Stop seeing according to the carnal. Stop speaking according to the carnal. And stop associating according to the carnal. It doesn't mean that we don't live in the carnal realm. It doesn't mean we can't have fun. But we're always about kingdom business wherever we are, wherever we go, and whatever we do. Willing to do whatever it takes to expand the kingdom by kingdom living. Time is running out. The kingdom is expanding. God is pushing back darkness. Provisions will begin to rain. But the provision is for the purpose of the kingdom, not self. It's not to build our own empires. It's to expand the kingdom. There's a tremendous harvest happening. There's much violence going on. The enemy knows he has a short time. He's killing as many as he can. Don't become a casualty of war by moving out of position. Amen? Amen. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is looking to kill you. So you must first strike every day and make contact. Make sure you get dressed with the full armor of God. Don't compromise, and don't put it off. Don't be a procrastinator. Be a doer. Don't go live out of your soul. Live out of the spirit. It's vitally important that we are prepared. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We commit all of our cares and concerns upon you, for you care for us. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. Let this word grow and bear fruit. Let it be protected. And let revelation be imparted to each and every one here tonight for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share with you again about the Eternal Library.